is a magic number.
I read somewhere that everybody on this planet is separated by only
three
other people. Three degrees of separation.
That's goodradio.com.
Three degrees of separation.
Three degrees of separation.
Internet Radio's choice for all things urban.
Music, talk, politics,
nightlife, and more.
Brothers should pull up their pants, you know? Come on.
Turn your radio up and get with the program.
And we are back. Live in effect, it is the rebirth of cool. The 3 degrees of separation crew is back in the house with your boy Silly Thoughts and L Love as we reboot this show for 2015. So I don't want to belabor the point. We're back. It's just the two of us. There's all kinds of, you know, we're the dynamic duo. We are the, I don't even know if I got too many more of these, but I just want to say, what's up? Welcome back. 3 Degrees Crew, Silly Thoughts, what's happening?
Hey, hey, hey. I am happy to be here. This is your boy, Silly Thoughts. I have missed the family. I have missed y'all folks. I'm ready to get back and get started to give y'all good, solid entertainment that you can listen to at your leisure as part of the new format. But we'll get to that in a moment. But just know that I'm happy to be here. We Them Boys 2015.
That's right. Wait, hold up. This is called the clink clink. That would be two Stellas in full effect as we drink our way into submission tonight. We got a great show that's on deck. I do want to do some housekeeping real quick. You can still catch us at all the same places on Facebook at 3 Degrees of Separation Talk Show, on Twitter at 3 Degrees Talk. You can get us on our website at 3 Degrees of Separation Talk, well, no, 3DegreesTalkShow.com. And so you can always catch us on blogtalkradio.com at 3 Degrees Talk Show. So we're excited about what we're doing. For those of you, y'all know it's been about 2-3 months since we've done a show. When we last did a show, it was with 5 people, 3 ladies. Those 3 ladies will still be working with us, hopefully, contributing in different ways. But in terms of having 2 steady, fully engaged hosts that you'll see every single week in studio, that's happening with Silly Thoughts and I. And so, it ain't no controversy. The ladies, you know, we all had to have kind of come to Jesus moment of what we were doing. And so we kind of figured out that, hey, in terms of trying to commit to doing this, these are the 2 folks that are going to do it. And so we're going to try to figure out ways to get the ladies involved. New ladies. We certainly got some spaces open for a producer, for an intern, as we kind of grow this thing. And so I'll just throw those out and then keep moving. But if you're interested, hit us up at 3DegreesTalkShow.com, and we'll take it from there. Tonight, we're talking black men's health, talking vaccinations. A lot of the segments that we've always had, some stayed, some are going. So the ones that stayed, we're still going to be doing our study hall. We're still going to do our hot or not. We're still going to do our hot topics. And then we've got some new segments that we're going to try to infuse into this thing. And so no holds barred. Let's get into it. Y'all know we start our show with study hall. So we're going to get into a study hall frame of mind today. And so I'm excited about, you know, the things that I'm going to learn. And so we've got this hookup going on. So I appreciate my man Silly. I'm actually doing a little bit of production, a little bit. I'm going to let him handle it. But I'm doing a little bit of production. So let's get it started. It's study hall time, y'all. Yes, I didn't do the push the button. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you can't give this to me. It don't let me push the button. Oh, there it
so
go.
You're
it
a philosopher?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think very deeply.
So, Silly, what you learned in the past 2 months?
Well, I learned a lot. But I'm going to talk about one little piece of what I've learned over the past couple of months. And I'm going to say this, and before y'all try to call me out for just making up stuff and just being roguish, I want to say sometimes change has to be forced. Now, I'm not advocating for a Gestapo in American culture, but what I am saying is our natural state is to not change. We resist change on all levels, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's on your job, whether it's socially, culturally, anything you want to do, we are resistant to change. But sometimes change is for the better. Civil rights, women's rights, there's so many examples of where change was a good thing, but it had to be forced upon people. And I'm saying that even when, especially the more later issues like affordable health care, the fact that we got a black president, and the fact that the conservatives who were so resistant to that black president are now propping up their own black candidate is an example of how change has happened and how it's been for the better. So as we try to continue to grow and evolve as people to where we're more accepting of change, until that happens, sometimes change has to be forced. And that's what I've learned over the past couple of months.
All right.
Love.
That's what's up. Well, I ain't mad at that. Well, what I learned was simple, man, because, you know, I think in the theme of our show not being long-winded, you know, we've done that in the past. I got on my little bully pulpit. I said, I'm not going to do that this year, man. I'm going to try to keep my points concise and to the point. So all I know is I learned two things. First, the Hawks are awesome. Love the Atlanta Hawks, 43-11. It's ATL Star Weekend up in New York right now. We running the Rising Stars game, the Shooting Stars competition, the Skills competition, the doggone, and the main competition. And even though we had no dunkers, we got the most dunk champions in the league. So I'm just saying, man, we them boys, we doing big things.
Including the robbery of Dominique.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you putting that. And so this leads me into my second part, right? Because people will hear me say that and be like, man, Larry, you know, y'all having a good year, but. It's always you having a good year, but, right? And this is what I got to say to them.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
That's for all the haters. It's a bunch of haters out there. Sports fans are some haters. They can't stand to see some new blood get into this system and start changing some things. And so I just want to say, man, to everybody who's a hater, don't be a hater, man. If your team sucks, if you a Kobe fan, y'all done had some years of gloriousness. Y'all done had some three-peats and some got all kinds of championships, rings all around. It's okay for me to get 1 year, Doc, without your hate. I wasn't going around hating on you. I wasn't hating on Michael Jordan. I wasn't hating on none of LeBron getting his ring. Stop being a hater if you are mad that the Hawks, with some of the most beautiful basketball y'all have seen this side San Antonio, just let it happen and enjoy it, especially in this town. This town deserves a winner. All right? Deserves a winner. I ride for my ATL. So even though this show is
95,
I'm telling you,
with them Braves, that's the last time we had a championship, the only championship I think Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, has seen. So we really need one bad,
yeah.
Real bad.
We do.
It does look like the Falcons are gonna bring one.
Woo.
Anytime soon.
Woo. Well, so we're not gonna make this a homer show. Like, I know we are located in Atlanta, but we'd like to make sure that this thing becomes more nationally. But I just know that the Hawks are my heart. And I just want to make sure that I just express without going overboard that the Hawks are awesome and y'all some haters. So as we talked, we said we're going to get to some new segments. This is the first new segment coming up. So my main man, Silly, is the man with the wheels of steel. And he's been over these last few months, he's been doing some Facebook. On Facebook, he's always been writing about things, the top 10 things he learned over the past week, and it's too many. You can't have 10 things because we're trying to do a podcast. We don't want to hear all your damn things that you learned every single week. But we did, if we could slim it down to like 3 key things that you learned, we could talk about sports. And of course, this will expand. I mean, I'm sure over time you get tired of talking about sports and you'll have other 3 things that you have learned or want to talk about, give us 3 cents on. So we'll start with this one. We'll give Silly his time to do his sports 3 cents.
Well, I'd like to just do a quick thing and say we're welcome to the newest and latest addition to the 3 Degrees of Talk show. Silly Sports is the segment where I give my 3 cents on the hottest topics in the world of sports. So with no further ado, to keep it short, let's talk some sports. That was thrown by Russell Wilson. And why didn't they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch to beast mode? And what I'm saying to all of y'all non-football watchers, basically, that don't know the game, the Seahawks lost that game well before that interception happened. And I'm going to tell you why. They gave up 14 points after having a 10-point lead in the third quarter. That's never been done. They gave up a 10-point lead that late in the Super Bowl. With the vaunted defense, the number one defense, they gave up 14 points to get down. Number two, the receiver, what was it, Curse, or whatever his name is, had to make a miraculous catch to get them down that close. It bounced off his back, kicked off his foot, off his knee. He catches it, and he gets them down that close. If that ball falls incomplete like it should have, we're not having this conversation. So let's not put all of the loss on that one interception. Was it bad? Yes. Was it a big play? Yes. Did it change the entire outcome of the game? No. It just was the final nail in the coffin for the Seahawks. So let's get off of that play. Second thing. L. Love mentioned it earlier. The Hawks. I'm not going to go into their style of play. They're playing wonderful basketball, and for those of you that understand the game, that's the way basketball is supposed to be played. But what I am going to say about the Hawks is they need more love than just from L. Love. But they won't get it. Why? Because the reporters are like everybody else, and they want their jobs to be easy. And the narrative about the Hawks has already been written, and all they do is they regurgitate all the stuff that's been said about the Hawks over the years. So they're waiting for the Hawks to lose so they can trot out an old, tired article that has been written before in their archives, and they just put a new spin on it and spit it back out there because they don't want to watch the Hawks. They don't want to research the Hawks. They don't want to learn about what's going on with Coach Bud and a bunch of players that aren't your traditional all-stars, your traditional superstars, how they're getting five players to play together. Or how about this? They go deep on their bench and get 8, 9, 10, 11 players to play together to buy into a system and play good team ball. Reporters don't want to do that. They're lazy. They want to cover LeBron and Kobe and all the big names. They want to talk about Derrick Rose trying to rehab in Chicago because that's one name and that's one player they got to watch. They just read some stats in this morning. Get off it. Stop being lazy reporters and cover the Hawks. You're missing some good basketball. And finally, this whole controversy with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. I mean, this girl, if y'all haven't seen it, it's on newsstands now. Hannah Davis, one chick in the long list of women that's been on Derek Jeter's kill list. So she's 24, he's 40, but we're not going to talk about that because I'm not going to hate on the man for that. But she's dating Derek Jeter. And she's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And apparently, she does the pose where she's got the her bottoms pulled down a little bit. And some people are calling it pornographic. And there's outrage, and I'm putting the air quotes on outrage, about this particular cover. And this is what I will say. Not only has that been done before, it was done by Tyra in 1997. It's been done a million times before with a young lady playing with her top of her bikini bottoms. First of all, and then the last thing I will say about that is the outrage is coming from the Southeast. Now, what's funny about the Southeast is we're the area of the country that buys the most porn. So how can you be outraged by a young lady wearing a swimsuit title, but at the same time, y'all buying porn in regular in record numbers in the Southeast? Can't have it both ways, okay? Get over yourself, let it go. Look at the history of the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. They're doing it to generate buzz and get y'all fools to go buy a magazine. And guess what? It worked. Congratulations, SI. But that's my silly sports segment for this week. And look for more silly sports segments in the near future.
All right, that's what's up. Look, I got so two things. I think you made some points, and I want to make sure I get in on a couple of them. First thing is, this pose. So I just pulled out. I've been a subscriber to SI since I want to say, man, I might have been like 15. So I got a good 25 years in the game with Sports Illustrated, and have all for the longest had all of the Sports Illustrated magazines. So I just pulled out 10 of them because I got them in a special section on my little nightstand, right? And number one, Tyra Banks. Back in 97, did this exact same pose. I'm talking about exact same pose. And then, if you go back some years, almost all of the poses before then, number one, they're all topless. And number two, they've been showing ass and everything else on Sports Illustrated. And I just want to say that, number one, I ain't got no problems. I understand that it's kind of exploitative and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But let me tell you that Sports Illustrated is not the number one purveyor of bad taste, exploitation, whatever the case may be. And so it's just important that, you know, let's not
Smooth
get too
magazine,
let's not get
FHM,
too, let's just
Maxim.
Not, let's just not get too outraged about this particular situation. So that said, I will say nothing about, we've already spoken about the Hawks. I won't speak about Super Bowl other than to say they still should have gave that damn ball to Marshawn Lynch. He's gonna leave it at that. And that we've got a great show upcoming for us. So want to go ahead and try to change up where we were. I know we said we weren't doing music any longer on the show, but we will be doing Hot or Not. So it's not going to be running from segment to segment and putting in music breaks as we have been over the past. But we do want to do a Hot or Not. I will give my opinion. Silly will give his opinion. And then if when our guest are close to that segment, we'll ask our guests what they thought about the song as well. Our guest today, I told you we're going to be talking about black men's health. We're going to be talking about vaccinations and kind of getting some feedback on that. So I called the guy that I thought was the smartest, most intelligent voice in the room, Dr. Dave Montgomery, who, until I actually looked up his resume, I mean, he was just friend before.
He's just that dude.
Yeah, then I was like, this motherfucker is like the bomb. This mug is on every kind of Steve Harvey, headline news, CNN. And I was like, dude, honestly, sometimes you meet people in a regular circumstance and don't realize just how awesome they are in their professional career. So we're happy to have him join us for our first rebooted show since 2005. So he'll talk with us when we come back after Hot or Not. So let's get to it. It's Hot or Not. We got D'Angelo from the Black Messiah album, Really Love. Tell us what you think in a couple minutes on 3 Years of Separation on blogtalkradio.com. We are back on the 3 Degrees of Separation on blogtalkradio.com. It's your boys, L Love and Silly Thoughts, and we are back. Excited on our, that was like our first official full segment and break. And so on the Rebirth of Cool show, where we actually reboot this thing in 2015, and we're excited about where we're going to be taking it. You can always reach us during the show at 3 Degrees Talk or on our Facebook, I mean on Twitter or on our Facebook page, our 3 Degrees of Separation Talk Show. You can also chat with us. We do our chat in our chat room on blogtalkradio.com at 3 Degrees Talk Show. And if you just scroll down a little bit on that screen, when you click on today's show, you'll see a little chat room, and Silly Thoughts and I will be there talking about what we're talking about. So that said, we did want to get into our esteemed guest, Dr. Dave Montgomery. He's going to be joining us to talk black men's health. And so without any further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. Dave.
Oh, good to be with you, L. Love, Silly Thoughts, man. Congratulations. Starting this thing back up again. It's what we need, bro.
Yeah, man. It's a good situation, man. I'm glad to get it back going, and hopefully we'll get – I mean, how I met you was through L.A., our co-host, or at least our former co-host. And
that's how
I met you, and I did not know until I actually went on your website just how much you're doing in these streets. So why don't you actually maybe tell people a little bit about you before we get into some of the topics that we were talking about today? Because, I mean, I ain't going to lie, man. You was just my homeboy. And today, I feel like ashamed that I don't know that you are the most accomplished cat I might know.
Well, I appreciate it, L. Love. Listen, what I've decided to do, man, I can tell you, you know, since being a little kid, man, I decided I wanted to be a physician, and when I actually realized that the stuff that we learn at, you know, when you're going through the training, the years of toil and kind of understanding how the body works and how it, you know, how it goes wrong, and I realized that the stuff that was taught to me in medical school, which was common sense stuff that could actually save lives, that people walking around the streets every day, you know, didn't know some of this stuff. And one of the problems that we have, particularly in academic medicine, is that we talk a lot to each other, but not to the people who we're really trying to heal and to help. And so, you know, I decided about 8 years ago, L. Love, Silly Thoughts, that I'm going to do something differently than has been done in medicine before, and that was to take to the internet and the social media where, you know, hundreds of millions of people were at that time that I started, and they were doing it for free, to go to those outlets and actually try to teach people and inspire them to do something drastically differently than we've done. I believe that Americans are sicker than we have to be, and we can't sit idly by to just watch that. So what you see and what you read about me is me just in an altruistic, kind of earnest way, trying to get Americans in certain subpopulations, particularly African Americans, to really learn about their bodies and then do something to help save their lives. That's what I'm all about, man.
That's what's up. Well, I want to get to the second part of that, but I know that, you know, when I mentioned to you that we wanted to bring you on, you know, kind of the hot topic of the day was the fact that people were, you know, had stopped getting vaccinated, and measles had reappeared in a way that it hadn't appeared in a very long time. And wanting to just get the facts out about that, talk about, you know, is this, you know, number one, what are the facts? And then two, you know, are there other health issues like this that get embroiled in, like, political motivations or, you know, the causes of one person who says they did their own research and then has caused what could, you know, ultimately be, you know, pretty, you know, if not damaging, I mean, fatal, you know, scenario for some young kids. So
yeah.
I wanted to talk about that first and just say, you know, from a doctor's point of view, you know, should we be concerned about vaccinating our children from something like measles?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not just measles, but polio and, you know, things that we only read about in the history books. I mean, the reason why we're able to have this kind of conversation right now is because of how the scientific community has combated and won the fight up till now against some of these serious viral conditions. Polio, right? Nobody's talking about polio. You don't see anybody. We don't know anybody that's had polio. We don't know people that you know, really had measles. I didn't have anybody in my class that had mumps. Are you kidding me? You never heard of this kind of stuff.
Right.
And the reason why is because we've been so effective at eradicating it, the best way to not get measles is to get vaccinated, period. That's it. If enough people don't get vaccinated, we call it herd immunity. If enough people don't get vaccinated, then you're not going to eradicate a condition like this. So the reason why we're, having this conversation again is twofold: people and vaccines and their misinformation, and then number two, what I just talked about, and that is that we haven't had to really, confront or face any of these things because we've done so well about it. And that's the unfortunate part about this, right? So, now we're seeing, parents' choices manifest in harming their kids. But the vast majority of parents don't want their kids to be sick like this, right? They don't want them to get measles and mumps where you get these big, huge, your parotid gland, your salivary gland gets so big that you're walking around and it looks like you've got two cantaloupes under your neck. It's really severe stuff. Nobody wants that for their kids. But we think that we're smarter than decades and decades of scientific discovery and scientific inquiry, now, because we haven't had to deal with it. And I think that's the major mistake. Let's just get real, okay? You are not going to have, no matter how smart you are, no matter how many Huffington Post articles you read, no matter how much Wall Street Journal you read, you are not going to be smarter than legions of scientists and physicians who've been doing this for decades. You're not. And we can't pretend like if we read, an article that we know more about this stuff than people. Okay, so nobody's trying to hurt people with vaccines. And if vaccines were really, truly more harmful than they are good, we got all kinds of regulatory agencies that would shut it down. You got what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, let's not be fooled, by ourselves and by the articles that we read in the popular press, or by our friend who we think is really smart, who, hey, look, you might be smart, but you don't know what you're talking about when you're sitting next to, somebody who's been trying to help cure diseases for a long time. Let's just be upfront about this. So I think those are the issues. I know I'm sort of rambling because I'm passionate about this. Get your kids vaccinated. The major adverse consequence of the vaccination is a little bit of tenderness where the injection goes in, and that's because your immune system works, period.
Yep. I'm with it.
So as a follow-up to that, I guess maybe we are falling victim or prey to the social media generation, in that news is always coming out, we're always reading, we're always digesting information, and so we think that because it's the latest thing that's come out, that's the best information. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you saying, in terms of, we've got almost, decades of data, but that's going to be usurped by the latest article that hit Twitter or the web?
Well, I think what you're saying is that we really need to be careful of, who we consume on social media and the internet, because just because one person gets some bright idea because they have one family member or friend or whatever who developed a condition and they have drawn a line from that condition to a vaccine, doesn't mean that now we've got to dig up what we know is tried and true about vaccines. What we need to do is go to what the current recommendations are. There's nothing, although it's based on decades of data, the current recommendation is still valid, and that is that vaccinations, particularly the childhood vaccinations that are going to keep you from getting really, really sick, are safe, and that the autism, for example, which is a major one, there is no link whatsoever between autism and vaccinations. Right. Autism is increasing. Any kind of, vaccination type of reaction or response or all that stuff is decreasing. We're getting better at vaccines. We're not using certain preservatives and additives in vaccines that we used to, because there was this thing, you may remember, thimerosal. You may remember that was a mercury-containing additive, and people were linking that to autism. Well, now you don't even find it in the childhood vaccines. It still exists in some of the flu vaccines, but in the ones that we're talking about, like MMR, the measles, and the pertussis, the DTaP, it's not in there. So what I guess I should circle back and just say the current, not old, recommendations are based on current, not old data. The current data says these recommendations are safe. Don't be sitting out here, unvaccinated because somebody told you your child was going to get autism.
Let me ask one question, one quick one, which is, so in light of this, I mean, I don't have kids. I mean, your doctor, Silly, has children, so he's probably been through this. But just for people who haven't, there are vaccinations that I think everyone should get. Then there are ones that are voluntary. You know, your flu vaccination. People, hey, do you want to get a flu shot? I would assume that is something that we consider voluntary. What would you consider the mandatory vaccinations versus the voluntary vaccinations?
So, let me back up for a second, because all of them are voluntary, and that's why we're having the debate. You know, I think, you know, some people, we don't want to be told what to do, but, when it comes to stuff like this, we know what's better for people because we researched it. So when you say voluntary, I think what you're trying to do is parse between the ones that we say the childhood sort of illnesses versus ones that we might get as an adult. What I've done, because, you know, there's a whole lot of them, we take the whole time talking about them, is I put up on my Twitter handle, which is, you can search for me at Dr. Dave Montgomery, but I'm D Montgomery MD, so go there on Twitter or go there on Facebook, and I've put up a chart that the CDC has up, and it shows you when you should get it and what it is in terms of the vaccine. So, the one that's in the news now is the measles, because we've got multiple outbreaks, and those are in places where people have a higher percentage of deciding or opting out from vaccines. And I would say, to your point, the flu vaccine to me is something that, as a healthcare worker, I get so that I don't, contract the flu and then go give it to, a whole bunch of people at, when I'm just going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I would remind you of 2009 when the flu called H1N1, that was previously only in pigs and swine, started to affect, and we started to get populations or part of our population that never died from flu, like young pregnant women. Remember that? It was a disaster, and the people who were not vaccinated were the people who suffered from this. There were a lot of people that died. So to me, unless you have some specific issues that you've talked about with your physician, I recommend, particularly for people who are dealing with a lot of people, I recommend having a conversation with your physician about flu vaccines and every other vaccine. For example, if you travel, what are the vaccines? These are the questions we need to ask.
That's a good point. So, in the political debate that's kind of sprung up from this vaccination conversation, what do you think the motivation is behind it? Because anytime something becomes hot in the news, especially that has political overtures, there's some motivation behind it. What's your opinion on what's the motivation behind the political debate around vaccinations?
Yeah. I don't pretend to know exactly, what has sparked some of that, but people's individual liberties rises to the top when you think about this, and having somebody, whether it is a governmental body, some other kind of regulatory body, telling people what to do, in some people's argument is un-American, and so. I just think that when it comes to stuff like this, that that is one perspective, except what I started with when we started talking about this. I don't know of any scientists, and I'm a scientist. I don't know of any physician, and I'm a physician. I don't know of any of those people who are sitting around trying to come up with a scheme to kill off people and give them autism from vaccines. So what we have to understand is that there are people whose only goal in life, not everybody, but there are the majority of these people sitting around at tables and their research benches trying to figure out, guys, what is the best way to keep American people healthy? What is the best way to, you know, to prevent us from having disease? What is the best way to cure disease? As a scientist, that's the reason why you go into it. And there are people who have been doing it for a long time, and it's a slap in the face. You know, when, you know, particularly when, you know, some of these scientists make beans for all of their careers just trying to help you and your family not get really sick, or if you do get sick, how do we fix it? That's people's, they devote their lives to this stuff. So I want people to understand, nobody's sitting around trying to, and now let me back up. We have historical precedents when it comes to certain groups and the medical field. Now I got it, right? Particularly blacks in America. I understand that. But what we can't do is, you know, continue to use that and then not benefit from some of the advances in the 21st century because we're still stuck in what happened to our great aunts and our great 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 grandfathers. We really have to find the doctor we trust, have this discussion that you and I are having at length, and then do what the doctor recommends after you guys have a negotiation about it. So my political, you know, when I think what's going on politically, it's, hey, you know, people are trying to force me to do something. You can't make me do it. And what I'm trying to say is all we're trying to do is save your life and that of your loved ones.
That's what's up. Well, so let's move, what's the name? So let's take this, you know, in a different direction and just talk about black men's health. I know we wanted to tackle that part of it, and so wanted to make sure that, you know, as we talk about, you know, our health, and obviously, you know, whenever you talk about most, well, let me not say every time, but most of the time, we talk about African-American health for men, for women, you're talking about us being on the wrong side of the metric. And so, you know, I wanted to kind of get to, at least in this context, because there's so many problems, you know, health, you know, obesity and our activity, our heart, there's so many, you know, the cancer rates. I mean, there's so many of those rates, AIDS, I mean, that we always are on the downside of that number. What should we be most concerned about? When you say, hey, if we could handle this particular area and it would affect the most black men, right? It would affect us in the largest numbers in the most impactful way. What area are we not paying attention to, or should we be paying attention to the most?
So, you know, I've got one category that would actually touch on every last one of those. You ready for this? You ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's the category. Here's the category for not just, you know, black men, but men in general, but certainly black men. The category we need to be focusing on is going through the reams and reams of physicians, finding somebody that you trust, and going and sitting down with him or her once or twice a year so that you can have every last single one of the things that you came up that are pertaining to your specific and unique needs answered, period. That's it. Because, you know, there's no way for me to broad brush this thing and say, oh, you know, we only need to be thinking about blood pressure. Because diabetes is a big problem in black American men. But we don't only need to be focusing on diabetes, because high cholesterol is a problem for black men. And we don't need to just be focusing on cholesterol, because heart disease and stroke, and they're all sort of together, but they're not the only things. Each person, and here's what I tell all my patients, because I see, you know, people who are mainly seeing me to try to, you know, prevent ever having disease, which is my shtick, right, as a preventive cardiologist. But I also see people who have been diagnosed with something and want to prevent it from getting worse. And what I tell people who have gotten a diagnosis, particularly when they're young, is that there is no human adult that is not dealing with something. Period. Whether it is mental health, whether your bowels are in a problem, whether you get headaches all the time, whether you can't see, you can't, right, okay, every human, when you look at each other in the studio, you're going to look at, you're dealing with something, whether you know it or not, when you go see somebody at the mall, every human adult is dealing with something. And because we're dealing with something, it's okay to then say, hey, everybody's got this. I'm not some kind of, you know, mutant or you know, I don't have to be, you know, it's not an indictment on my character or my manlyhood, my man-ness, if you will, if I got to go see a doctor. Everybody's dealing with them. That's because we don't have perfect physiology. Nobody's got a perfect body. Go around the country and ask.
Wait, hold on, hold on, hold on. I know you're the physician.
Except Beyonce. Except Beyonce. Okay. But everybody else.
Okay.
Everybody else. Okay. We are imperfect. And the point is, because of that, you know, you got to find somebody you can sit down and have a chat with about the stuff that matters to you. And the stuff that matters to L Love is going to be different from Silly Thoughts. Is going to be different from Dr. Dave. And we've got to find somebody who we can talk through all that stuff with. That's what we need to do.
Gotcha. Hey, well, let me ask this last question, and then we'll get out of here. And I definitely want you to close out by just kind of sharing with how people can reach you, whether that be on social media or otherwise. But I think that, you know, what I always wonder about when we talk about this, I mean, you said people are not, there are no perfect bodies, right? I mean, myself accepted. But right. What preventable...
Wait, and Beyonce. Come on.
And Beyonce, right. Beyonce. Us too. What preventable thing makes you shake your head the most, though, when you see it? When someone comes in and you're saying, you can prevent this. You can stop this. What, you know, yeah, I know you don't want to embarrass any of your, you know, any of your patients, but what thing in your mind are you sometimes saying, man, you go back and you hit the wife and talk to her and say, this fool that came in here today, they had this. What is this?
Well, you know, if I could just put it in a bag of, you know, the diseases of the heart that are related to our poor choices in food and our lack of exercise. We have a misconception in the black community that, you know, that if you're thin, then you don't need to exercise, right? We have this misconception that, you know, I've been an athlete. I was an athlete in college and high school, and I'm good. I can eat this fried chicken every night and eat salty stuff every day, and I don't really have to worry about it. And I don't have to exercise anymore. Yeah, you know, back in the day, man, I was, you know, you tell all these stories about how bad you were on the court. Now you can't even dribble because you haven't been out there in a decade and a half because you won't exercise, right? And we think that we're still okay, particularly, you know, men. The problem that we see is that we are more often than not choosing the wrong things to eat, and then we're not going to move our bodies to help our bodies process some of that bad stuff. That's where the problem is.
Okay. That's what's up. Well, look, man, I mean, we could talk about this for days. I'd love to maybe get you back on to talk about a few other things that have been things that we've wanted to share. Because, I mean, when we started doing this show, you know, one of the things was we wanted to start talking about things that are not the average things that we talk about in radio and give enough bandwidth, right, to have a full conversation. So I know that we can do that here. I don't want to belabor it today only because it's our first show and we still got two more other topics that we got to get to. But I do want people to be able to get in contact with you and find out how to see and read about. I mean, like I said, when I went to your website at DaveMontgomeryMD.com, but are there other ways and more effective ways to kind of get in contact with you and find out more about the ways that you're trying to inspire people to have better health?
That's actually the best way because all of the other outlets are actually right there, particularly on the homepage. If you go to Dave MontgomeryMD.com, DaveMontgomeryMD.com. What you'll see is my Twitter handle. You'll see my Facebook page. You'll see the videos that I have. And pay particular attention to some of the videos. We put a lot into trying to give instructional, motivational videos in a way that we think is different than people have had before. I want people to go to that page, and you can find me. You can email me straight from that page. You can also call us from that page.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Anything else you need to plug before we get out of here?
Get your kids vaccinated, and if you have not hired your doctor, I wrote an article for Ebony.com. It's called Find Dr. Right. Go and hire the doctor that's right for you. Be about the business this year of finding a doctor that you like and trust, and get yourself together.
That's what's up. Well, look, man, we appreciate you for joining, man, and I will, in the future, I will make sure that I afford you the proper respect that you deserve.
How about that?
You know what I'm saying? When I'm around you, like, man, I put out on the most celebrities when I hang out with Dr. Dave.
That's the Black Sanjay Gupta.
That's what's up.
The one and only, the first Dr. Dave. How about that?
That's what's up. 100%, man. Look, we appreciate you for joining us, and thanks for joining the 3 degrees and giving us the 3rd degree.
Good to be with you.
Hi, bro. That is Dr. Dave Montgomery of Dr. Dave fame. Go to DaveMontgomeryMD.com. There's no ethnicity around that. It's just how it sounds.
Right.
So check that out. And you'll be as impressed as I was. Like I said, I mean, I'm not impressed easily. I'm around, you know, the councilmen, and you know, I grew up in all kinds of, you know, around a lot of very, you know, affluent and influential people, and it was more of a surprise than anything. It was just like, you just cool down to every brother, and who knew? You know what I mean? So it was good to talk to him. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him back on the show in the future. So that said, let's go ahead and hit this drop, and we'll come back from that. We're going to get into some more segments. Let's do it.
Hey, this is Dr. Aldewan Tart of MTV's Made, TV1's Black Men Revealed, and celebrity life coach for Drew Hill. And I got my degree from the 3 Degrees show.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Tart. That comes right on the heels of Valentine's Day, and I haven't even talked. We haven't talked about Valentine's Day much, and I know we're not gonna get on a silly thoughts rant. We'll save that.
My rant is real quick. I don't do Valentine's Day.
All right,
I haven't done it in 15 plus years.
I mean, it does. Wow. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. But look, it's about
setting the expectations. When you go into a relationship, you negotiate your expectations. We first got together, I said, I don't do Valentine's Day. Are you okay with that? And she was okay with that, and we moved on with that. I do other things.
You realize you're interceding on my segment, though?
I am. So I'm trying to back off. But I'm saying, I always get that look when people say,
I'm not giving you no look.
Maybe I feel some kind of way.
Yeah, you are. You feel a little touch.
It's
right
your sacred time.
I hear you. But so we want to do a new segment where we talk about Larry Love pre-married life 3-pointer. I'm gonna give you 3 points about what happens when you're in a relationship, you're not married, and how that impacts things. You know, so there's lots of folks. Like, Silly Thoughts has a different point of view because he is married, and so his point of view is a little different than those who, you know, not all the way tied into that marriage thing. So I want to give us a little bit of that. And so I got 3 points. All right. One of them is about Valentine's Day. So pointed that you actually talked about Dr. Aldewan, because he came on a show that we did a long time ago about relationships. It was a very powerful show. So I tell anyone to go to Dr. Tart.com. That's Tart, TART.com. But Valentine's Day, when you are pre-marriage, and I'll wait till the end of my segment before you respond to this. I'd be interested to know whether or not this cat had this Valentine's Day mantra and he was strict to it pre-marriage than he was post-marriage. Because pre-marriage is like, man, that is an implicit pressure to make sure that you keep up with the Joneses. And it don't matter who the Joneses are, the Johnsons, the Jenkins, whoever they are, you got to keep up with them, right? Because you get to see, and especially, I'm glad that you mentioned some of the things you were talking about as it relates to social media and the recency bias of seeing what's happening in real time for folks, right? So people see, oh, my girlfriend just got some flowers. Where are my flowers? Oh, my friend just got the chocolates. Where are my chocolates? Oh, my God. Oh, somebody just got engaged. Where's my ring? All of those things. When the social media era,
right,
you couldn't just have, you know, 10 years ago, you just heard about what happened the next day at the water cooler on Monday.
Right.
Today, you get to see it in real time. Oh, so-and-so just, somebody loves her. Oh, somebody did, oh, he stepped out and did the but you don't know the dynamics. Right? You don't know if that was the makeup for the, you know, creeping that he did in December. or whatever the case may be. And so, I just want to say Valentine's Day, important, but, man, pressure, all right? Point two, learning that the DVR space is key. I'm always fighting for DVR space. You know, I'm always looking to say, hey, you know, like, I fight about, we didn't have some fights about, look, DVR space is dwindling, something got to get deleted. My rule, delete what you can get on demand. If you can get it on demand, it's going off the DVR. Not because I'm trying to keep you from watching your show, but because you can still see your show. Don't delete my show.
So I can co-sign that point.
Don't delete my show that I can't find. I can't find it on the internet. I can't get it on Netflix. Can't get it on Hulu. It's very few of those these days, but there are some. Some of these TBS shows can't find them again, right? Mm-hmm. Once you delete it, it's gone until they decide to put it back on air. So if you go and do a search on demand and you don't see my show, don't delete it. All right? Point two. Point three, getting Facebook notified with bad news sucks. Now, this is not really a relationship issue. It could be, but this is really just an overall issue. I hate getting information about things that are going on in people's lives after the fact. Facebook. Like, if we tight, like, if me and you tight, right? And I'm hanging out, we kick it all the time, and then on Facebook I find out, oh yeah, my mama passed away. No. Negro, I need to get a text message. I need to get an email. I need to get a phone call. I need to get something that is more personal and less public than, hey, I just wanted to knock it out with everybody, and, you know, I figured you'd see it. No, are we figuring I'm going to see something? I want to know. That's not how I want my interaction to happen. And I feel like that with bad news. With good news, I don't really care, right? I kind of care, but at least I know that it's not something that I need to react to in a sensitive way, right? Like, hey, you win $1 million. I might be like, man, you know, how come you ain't, you know, call me over to tell me about it? But then it's like, hey, it's just good news. Congratulations. But, like, something of real significance, you know, people passing away, bankruptcies, layoffs, things that you want to be able to say, hey, and can I help you? Can I do something? And I want to be looked at as someone that you would consider someone who could be comforting and addressing it in some kind of way without it being a like or a comment or a share. Yeah, it just bothers me. So,
I always find it weird to like those type of posts.
Yeah, so it's hard to like those.
How you like it? My mama died?
Right, 100%. But in a social media context, it's the thing you can do because then you get to see, if you wanted to see, all the comments that come with that and all that kind of stuff. You can't see that without and get notified without liking it. So it is definitely a dicey situation on that. But I'm with you on that. I agree. Right. And that's the part. That's the point I'm making. So, but that's it. That's my Larry's Love Pre-Married Life 3-pointer. Straight like it's Kyle Korver. Bang! And I'm
I co-signed the DVR versus on-demand. Co-sign that all the way. I'm serious. Cause you got to clear out that space. And there's some live shows that I can't go back. You want to catch it. I was serious about that. So don't be deleting something that you can watch on demand. Because you got it all open life class. And you know what? Her show gonna be on there.
Yeah.
Find on demand.
And I would even say, and we want to get to our hot topics, but I would say that the other thing that I would add to that too is there are shows that come on like 15 times a week. So like Real Housewives comes on 15 times. So
it's okay if that one gets deleted. Want to know why? Because it's going to be back on tomorrow. It's going to be back on at 2 o'clock, at 2 a.m. It's going to be on at 12 p.m. It's going to be on. Like, they're not letting you not find out what the, you know, the string of issues that have come up. And there's going to be a marathon of them on Bravo on Sunday. You're going to see from 2 to 8 is going to be the last 6 episodes. Catch it then. Any one of them, you know, and then, and if you need to record it at that time and then delete it later on that night, cool, no problem. But I'm just saying, don't get mad about something that's going to come on 15 times. I got you. Done and done. All right, so.
I'm also co-signing the Facebook bad news. It's tough because you've got to find that mix of people that you will contact directly with the bad news, and then, because I've got almost 2,000 quote-unquote friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm not contacting 2,000 folks with my bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to contact a circle with the stuff, so I'm with you on that. And then the other everybody else, they're going to get a nice summary of what happened.
I'm just saying, if I'm in the circle, that's the only
point. I'm saying
if I'm in the circle,
you're in the circle.
Do not have me learning about, oh, you know, my kid just got hit by, you know, cars, quadriplegic, you know, God bless whoever that has happened to, right? I don't want to hear about that on the Facebook. Like, I want to be able to, like, yo, I'm gonna hit you up and call you. Because if you're telling everybody on that, I'm assuming that you're kind of over it now. You're like, you got to the point where you can talk about it. And I'm like, no, I want, if I, we tight, you my line brother. You my, you know, my blood brother. I don't want to get the late news. I want to be like, yo, hey, guess what, Larry? You know, I got married last night. No, hold up. Time out. This is a problem. I'm with that. So,
and finally, the Valentine's Day thing. I'll say this.
Keep it short.
I'm gonna keep it short. It started with the whole, for lack of a better term, dick measuring thing, when people were trying to outdo each other. And this is well before social media kicked in. It was, I did this for my girl, or did you see what so and so got, and blah blah blah. And I was like, you know what, I'm unplugging from the matrix of Valentine's Day. And so this is even before I got with the Sweet Glaze. Girlfriends prior to her, I was like, if we're dating, I don't do Valentine's Day. If you have a problem with that, then maybe I'm not the dude for you.
Mm.
I fill that in with random gifts and other acts of kindness to offset the Valentine's Day thing. And I will say this, every single one has adjusted. And the first one, it was like, really? You know, they thought it was a prize coming, and then realized the day went, it was over. They thought I was setting them up for a surprise. And then when it didn't happen, it was like, oh, he was serious? But the relationship outweighed that day and the commercialism of that day, and they moved on, and they got past it. And 14, almost 15 years of marriage.
Was that a college?
It was
revelation.
College. Okay, I did it in college.
You were doing it in high school.
I was doing it in high school, and I started my first half of my college career doing the Valentine's Day thing. And it was, I realized it's really not a relationship day. It's a what a dude does for his lady day. And I realized that I wasn't getting ish back.
Mm.
It was like they would sit at the house like, what you going to do for me this year, Negro? And I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was about us. And it's about me doing for you.
Right.
And I already got Christmas and a birthday I got to figure out. Okay? Now you're going to throw a third day on top of this?
Right.
That I have to do something. And I'm the type of person, I really hate stuff when I have to do it. And so I just started rejecting it, and I just unplugged. And I was like, I'm not doing it. If you want to be with me, be with me. If you want to have Valentine's Day, go talk to dude. I'm not doing
it. Well, you do know that for women, what they do think, though, and I'm moving on, so you ain't get no retort. No retort.
Right.
You have
I'm done.
I'm just saying, you know what women think the present is always. They think it's the cookie. They think that when you get the cookie, they can give you the cookie at any point. Even though you've been giving the cookie all year, all day, every week, they think, oh, I'm going to give you the special cookie on Valentine's Day, and that should equal my gift and things that you've done for me. I don't know why. I'm like, baby, you've been giving me that. I want a gift, too. I want something on my arm. I want a, you know, a new computer. I want, you know, a flat screen. I mean, hook me up.
Hi, Felicia. On that cookie shit.
Oh, boy, we got you cussing and fussing. So we definitely moving on. So as you know, we're going to close out the show with our hot topics. So we've always done hot topics.
It was, you know, basically the if degree was what we called it. And so we're going to do that. And that will retain itself. We'll probably do it earlier in the show. We did a little later in the show because we wanted to get Dr. Dave in, and we appreciate him for giving us some quality time talking about health. But we want to close the show with some of the topics that we thought were most relevant and interesting over the past few. Actually, it'll be weekly, but for today, the last 3 months. So, with no further ado, it's Nth Degree, y'all. I've seen you talk about this the most on social media, and I feel like this might be we might have a debate on our hands, because I don't know if I agree with the thought process, so I'll just talk about it, and we'll see where we land on it, but it is the Little League former champs, Jackie Robinson West out of Chicago, were stripped of their title because they were found to have had members of their team who were recruited from areas outside of the district of which they were supposed to be in order to be qualified as a team for the Little League World Series. I think there have been other, since this has happened, a couple of other circumstances where Little League teams have been stripped of titles that they had in the past. And so this is certainly not something that's a new phenomenon in terms of cheating in Little League. I think Danny Almonte is one that comes to mind. It was like he was a 14-year-old who was supposed to, he was 14. He threw a no-hitter in the Little League World Series some years back from New York. I saw a lot of people who kind of got up in arms about this particular situation. And so I'm gonna let Silly, you know, talk about what his thought process is here. But I'm interested to find out why people feel like there's something covert or, you know, controversial around what amounts to some cheating happen. And so shouldn't the kids deserve what they get? I mean, in fact, the mayor said he was still going to get the kids championship rings. I want to know, why do we think this is acceptable? Silly.
Because I will say this. I don't think that them being stripped of the title had anything to do with race, and I might be in a minority on that. I think this is something that is pervasive in Little League, especially Little League baseball. These guys are always trying to sneak a kid in that's too old, or they're trying to bring a ringer in because they want to continue on and win. So even here in Atlanta, there's an article I posted, and it was a team down in Peachtree City got their state championship taken away because they had too many 12-year-olds on their team, because you have to have a mix of some 11 and some 12-year-olds. So you got everything, and they had to vacate their wins, and they didn't get to go to the Little League World Series because of this issue. It is pervasive in this sport. Now, the reason why it's bigger with Jackie Robinson West is because they were the first all-African-American team to get that far and to win it all.
And so They didn't win it all. They won the U.S.
They won the U.S. title. They lost in the World thing.
Got smacked.
They won the U.S. title. They got smacked around.
They did. Them Koreans was all in that whack attack. Yeah.
But to win the U.S. title. And so they got a lot of notoriety because of that. They were a huge story last summer. They were meeting President Obama, which every team beats President Obama.
They beat Monet Davis.
It was a special connection. You had Monet Davis pitching for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So there was all this attention, and it was good news for baseball because baseball has had a dearth of African-American talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's been slowly going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that kind of attention and to bring black eyes to baseball was a good thing for baseball. Now, fast forward, they get caught with the cheating, allegedly, because
they did get caught cheating.
They did get caught cheating, and they got to get their everything vacated. Now, would that take away the experiences from the boys?
No.
They were on the field. They won the game.
You can take it off the record books. Yeah.
But you can't take the fact you saw them on TV. Everybody saw them on TV winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if the Patriots got found cheating in the Super Bowl, and they and paid you a Super Bowl check.
Let me just ask, I mean, so am I hearing you say that you are not on the, I mean, I heard you say, and I think I saw it on your Facebook, that you were just saying that people, everybody's cheating. So it shouldn't be as big a deal that they cheat. I thought I read that. Maybe I'm wrong. But what I have seen, and I just want to contrast it with
right.
what I've been seeing, and people saying it's not that big, they're still going to be champs to us, so on and so forth. And I'm like, but if what message does that send to these kids if you want them to continue to have all of the benefits of their – and it doesn't matter that the parents cheated them, right? So get mad at the grown-ups who caused this, but you should also be saying, well, look, son, it wasn't fair. This didn't happen the way it was supposed to within the rules. It doesn't matter to me. And so I think the thing that bothered me most was folks were like, well, I think the Las Vegas kids were the kids that lost to Jackie Robinson. And the president of Little League or whatever last year was from Las Vegas, right? So he's looking out for his crew, and that's how he put the investigation. I'm saying, would you not do that if that were your kids? You flip the switch. You telling me that if you found out and looked up, and this is what they said. They said they looked up on Google for some of these kids and found out where they lived and found out they don't live in the neighborhood. They did an investigation on all these all-star kids that are in the right district, and you're telling me that if that didn't happen and your kids lost, that you would not have been like, hey, how many times do people go up there,
right.
We got cheated, Jordan walked, so-and-so. I mean, how many times has that happened?
You pushed off against Byron.
Exactly, and you got mad, and you were on the other side of the fence, and you had the authority and the ability to do something about it that you would not have. I'm like, I just don't understand why people are up in arms and not feeling bad. I feel bad for these kids.
Absolutely.
Who are, if they did it right, that did not get the same experience, didn't get to meet the president, didn't get the championship ring, didn't get a chance to be, to maybe, like if you put yourself in the shoes, if we play the Koreans, maybe we are the World Series champs. That is the part of this that I'm like, how did we get so high and mighty and so conspiracy theorist around everything that happens that then the lesson doesn't get learned? And that's what I think I'm losing here, because I'm like, I mean, I would say I'm definitely in the minority. I see more black folks that are like, hey, these mothers are the champs in our eyes no matter what. And I'm like, no, that's not the message that we should be sending to kids this age about something that happens. We should say, no, these grown-ups messed up, and I'm sorry that you're going to have to not experience, not get the championship ring. We, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hope you enjoyed the experiences that you got, but there's also a downside, and this is it.
Life is consequences, and I'm with you on that one. And my point was, I saw a lot of people, and of course, being African American, most of my friends are Facebook African American, and they try to take it that way. And then you look at the press conference, you got Jesse Jackson standing back there, you know, being an opportunist. And it was like they tried to encapsulate it like they're coming after us because we're black and we're the first black team to win the U.S. championship. No, that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
They came after you because you cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And they were mad because their kids lost to a team that shouldn't have had all those players on it. That's what it is to me. It's not about race.
Well, I will say it can be about race.
I say maybe 5%, maybe 10% had race.
It can be both.
It could be both, but it wasn't predominantly, in my opinion, about race, because baseball has a culture of cheating associated with it, and it's permeated all the way down to the Little League level, and this is the consequence of when you get caught cheating.
And before we move on, I just want to say that, I think we've made this point consistently. All right, now I know I've at least been a champion of this, is that when you do wrong, right, when you mess up, you can't put your moral high ground into its racism.
Right.
I think sometimes it could be racism, but it could be racism and you still were wrong. It wasn't, hey, it's racism. Somebody planted my house outside the district, and he redrew the districting, and then that's how it, like, that to me is racism. Like, hey, I'm going to get these Negroes, so I'm going to do some new rule changes or whatever to make it where this. No, you come back and say, no, this is wrong, and this is how it went down, and they broke the rules, and then you're like, well, the reason he did it is because I don't like black people. Well, I mean, he didn't like black. You gave him the ammunition, though. You gave the guy who's the racist guy with the power the ammunition, and you shouldn't have. So just be mad that I would say be more mad that you gave him the ammunition than you are that he used it to shoot you with it.
Right.
So that's the part that I think I want to just get to. But I want to move on.
Right.
Two more things. One is light. I just wanted to know, you know, have you watched the new nightly show with Larry Wilmore?
Have
and
not.
And how you feel about that, him taking over for Stephen Colbert. And then on the heels of that, finding out that Jon Stewart is leaving at the end of this year from the Daily Show.
I'm sad about that.
So, thoughts?
I'm sad about Jon Stewart leaving. And, you know, because traditional news sources have become so biased in their political leanings that it's really hard to get unfiltered news. And while Jon Stewart was a comedian, he was probably the most unfiltered. He called both sides out about their hypocrisy, about their silliness, the pettiness. He had both sides on there to talk about it, and he made fun of both sides. I appreciated that as somebody that believes in context and critical thought. And so to have him not on the airways, you know, where will I turn? Where can somebody like me turn? Now I've got to look at
Larry
MSNBC and CNN and even Fox, because I do watch Fox
Larry
a little
Wilmore.
Bit. And I got to filter through all their bullshit.
No Larry Wilmore? No Larry Wilmore. I mean, Larry Wilmore is the only black man in late night right now.
I'll have to watch Larry Wilmore.
I
will watch him. I haven't watched it. The promos look funny.
Okay, you need to check
so,
him out. At
I'm
going to
check him out.
Determine whether or not you like him. I mean, we got to support. Look,
for our next show, I'll make this pledge. By our next show, I will have watched at least one episode, and we can have an intelligent discussion about this show.
Let's do that. Because we watch Empire, and we watch, you know, all this other rap.
I don't watch Empire. All right,
yeah, we won't talk. That will be a talk for another day. Last thing is, so as we do talk about things that do color the racism line, and that's the coverage of terrorism as it relates to Boko Haram. So Boko Haram has been running rampant throughout Nigeria, taking over towns, raping and kidnapping and killing. We're not talking about on the magnitude of hundreds. We're talking about thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And regularly have been taking to towns and going ham. France, one or two. I saw yesterday Denmark, one or two people shot, and it's front page news regularly. There was, I think, the French thing, it was three, I mean, like, what, six, seven people got shot for that newspaper. They had all of the heads of states from all over Europe and North America came over, and then they had the biggest march and protest in the history of the country.
Right. You thought it was Bastille Day.
This happens in Nigeria. And there's no outpouring. There's no let's go to Africa. That, and I'm not only that's something that we gotta take on the chin as well. There's not Boko Haram on Ebony.com, on Essence.com, in rolling out in any of these, you know, African American, you know, Black Enterprise. I mean, I'm not saying the Black Enterprise is probably the wrong place for it, but there's an element of that. There's an element of, you know, commerce and just humanity that just is completely missing. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because the order of magnitude of what's happening there compared to what's happening in the United States and in Europe, I mean, the scale is massive. And I just wonder where the voices are, including our president.
It doesn't stop with him, too. I will say that as much as I think that racism is not as part of the Little League stuff, I think that race is a part of this situation. And unfortunately, in this country, the deaths of black and brown people doesn't move the meter. So if this was happening, this happened in Nigeria and Africa, they're like, those are black people dying, that's their issue. They have a connection to people that make the news, because again, we understand the chasing ethnicity of this country. But those that control the media have a direct connection to Europe, and so therefore it gets blown out of proportion, and everybody says, oh my God, what's going on? This is a crisis. When we have a real crisis of more people dying in Africa, that's like, it doesn't move the meter. And that's where I feel like race does play an issue. If this was happening in Mexico, I don't think it would be that much of an issue. I think people wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. They'd be like, oh, well, look. And you would get crass comments, like, I'm not even going to say them, but you would get some very crass comments from the conservative right. And so we have to be, and to your point about the black media not picking the story, I take them more to task than I take generalized mainstream media, because it is something that's important to me and important to the survival of black culture for at its roots, which is Africa. We've got to do a better job of reporting our own news. And then if we do that, then we could drive the meter on the mainstream media. Because if we start tweeting about it and putting hashtags together about it, then guess what? It's going to start trending. And when it starts trending, guess who picks it up? Mainstream media. We can drive that.
And so I'll say, yes, we can drive that. I always say that I get nervous about black Twitter because
it's good and bad.
We don't do a great. I mean, so it has a value. Like, I mean, Michael Brown, Trayvon, you know, had a value, right? I think that the opposite side of that is that when we get more outrage around what's happening with sorority sisters than we do with Boko Haram, that causes me great concern. You know, because what happened with sorority sisters, it got off the air.
Yep.
They took it off the air. And what I said at the very beginning of it is still true today, right? Is that they just going to find another thing to replace it with.
Yes.
And they have. I think one of our good friends, Brian Thomas, BT, from FAMU,
right.
he had posted something on Facebook about there was a dance troupe of black men.
Yes. Called the Prancing Seven or Other.
Yeah, as women. And that was going to be on, I want to say it was Oxygen.
Oxygen.
And so my point was, and they was like, we got to boycott this one too. And I was like, why? I was telling you for a fact that if you don't hit the root of that all ratchetness in black reality television, if you don't boycott all of it, all you're doing is pulling out one little branch from the tree. And all they're going to do is it grows another branch. They're going to find we'll find a sweet spot that they like in ratchetness, because as long as Real Housewives and these other shows that are popular,
Love and Hip Hop,
and still are on air, even if, so you can't pick the ones you like and then try to pull out the ones you don't like without thinking that there's an impact. And I just want to close.
I disagree just a little bit because I don't like any of those shows. Let me say that from a personal standpoint.
I do.
But I will say,
I think some of them are good.
I will say this. There is a line of ratchetness. And what I see in these groups, like the prancing, whatever they're called, and with sorority sisters, the groups that are protesting that said, that's a line. You cross the line. We're going to snatch those shows. Okay, we do have some ratchetness. We got Real Housewives. We've got Love and Hip Hop. We've got some ratchetness out there. There's a line. Some people think that those shows are over the line. But for a large percentage of the population, that was the line. And these two shows crossed that line, and we got to pull these back. And my thinking is we're sending the message to the producers of these shows and say, okay, that's where the line is. Don't cross that line.
Let me tell you.
And if we continue to get those shows pulled,
That's a lie. Let me tell you why it's a lie and why black people are lying to them.
Well, it's an opinion. It's not.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Here's why it's a lie. When Flavor Flav had chicks doo-doo defecating on the ground, right, in the show, right, every kind of Mimi's doing a porn tape. That's real, right? Now, I've always said that black reality television is really just unscripted TV. These people are not. That's not their real life. They're not living none of that, right? They are playing a role to keep a check going, and you thinking, but like Mimi and all that, these folks ain't fighting. I think in real life, once the show is, they like, hey, girl, good job,
right?
Because you can't force that. You know, people that you don't like and you hate, you don't even put yourself in their sphere. You don't even go and hang out with them. So there's no doubt that this is a made-up – all of these are made-up shows.
Well, you listed on your IMDb credit.
So let me just say the point of this line, right? I watched Sorority Sisters. There's nothing they did in there that was even remotely close to the craziness I've seen on these other shows. Shows that these people watch. They say, so they just felt a way about, I don't want my letters associated.
Absolutely. And that's a line, though.
Right.
That's a line.
But what I'm
that's
saying
is, that's not a racket line, but that's
a
line.
It's a false equivalence, though, is my point. And so what I'm saying is that when you say that, and there are many that said, here's the chance to say, we're going to get rid of all ratchet TV. And I'm saying, but you're not boycotting the ratchet TV. You're boycotting what is a poor representation of good black reality TV show.
The reason that Sorority Sisters went off the air is because it was a bad reality show. If nobody would have ever been outraged about anything on that show, they would have stopped watching it because it was bad, right? So the prancing whatever, I guarantee you, I'm pretty confident, there's not a real big market for seeing black men gyrating and twerking as a dance team. That's my opinion. So wasting my time on boycotting that, for what? When we are willing to allow certain components of that life still continue to be pervasive on television and not boycotted. So all I'm saying is, all it's going to do is, they're too cheap to make. These shows are so cheap to make that you'll end up having people just continue to say, well, let me just find the next different. That's why the Prancing show comes up. Not because if you had said, we're pulling the plug on every sponsorship of every one of these shows and even the ones that are popular, then you would have seen, oh, wait a minute, the shift for the collective is so massive that I'm wasting my time making these shows. That's not going to happen. And that's why I'm just saying, I think it's a lie, and it's a lie we told ourselves. And so to bring it all the way back to Boko Haram, it's a lie we told ourselves, and yet we got these big, massive things that we can put our energy towards, that we can actually see progress for the race, for our country, for the world, and we decline to do anything about it. And that's why I say it concerns me. It gives me great pause to be like, you know, I see you out there trying to act like you care about something that's meaningful, but if Sorority Sisters is where you starting, I got a problem. It ain't led to nothing else. That's all I'm saying. Like, if and everybody that told me I was wrong about it, and they was on my brother, we was on Facebook. I was like, they was on us big time, and everything they said is, this is gonna be the start. And all I'm saying is, I ain't seen ish since.
Well, I agree with your point in that, and I think the Sony leaks proves your point to an extent, and that those emails going back and forth were like, this is what black people watch. And he even attributed that to all the way up to the White House. Like, he probably like 12 Years a Slave. He probably like these because he's black and that's what black people watch. And so they really summed us up very kind of nondescript. It was like, this is what y'all do. And we're gonna continue to pump out this formula because y'all going to spend money, y'all going to give, so we can sell more advertising because you watch these type of shows.
This is what's going to happen with Empire. This is why you're going to see Empire knockoffs on damn near every one of these networks.
Well, you're going to see that Empire was a knockoff of his show.
Well, I agree. But what I'm saying is, but Power is on a pay cable network, and they're not getting the ratings. Like, they didn't drive up Starz. Like, if Starz became the number one, pay cable television station, pay network, guarantee that all HBO and Showtime and all that would have came up with one, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, for network television, I mean, what's happening with Empire? So I got to give big credit. I mean, shoot, our boy Rob Hardy, he was one of the directors of the episodes, right? So I don't want the show to die in the incarnation of, I don't want to see black folks on television. I'm happy that, and there's a lot of black power that's in that show. I'm happy about that. But I'm also saying that the show is pretty weak. I mean, the writing is weak. The editing is weak. I mean, it's really a weak show. I mean, they tell you what they, oh, man, wait till I get my boy. I'm going to shoot him. And then, like, in the next scene, they're trying to shoot him. You know, and then in the next scene, it's like, oh, I'm sure I'm setting you up. I mean, I'm just saying, it's very formulaic. And it's so formulaic, it's dumbed down to the point you don't really even, there's no nuance. There's no thing to look forward to. I mean, it's very formulaic. And so what I'm saying is, and you package it that way, and you put a bunch of big stars on the show, we're going to see exactly that. It's what happened with Scandal. The show Deception, that was had Megan Good and Boris Kojo, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That show came on right the season after Scandal, and the difference was it was bad. And then it came out, went off the air like that. And that's what I'm expecting to happen. But I'm expecting to happen because these shows are not that good, and so they're gonna say, we can just put some stars on a black show and put it on ABC, put one on CBS, and then next thing you know, you'll be like, damn, why we got all these whack ass ratchet black TV shows that are all around hip hop and the music industry and athletics, and you're gonna be like, where's the nuance? And I'm gonna say, because you supported this crap and you didn't demand they do better. If the increase in the show, it increases in number of people watching every single week, they making some more. Rest assured, they're not gonna let.
So here's my question:
untapped.
Are we doing ourselves a disservice by artificially inflating the ratings for these shows because of the debates that we're having about them on social media? I remember there was a controversy around Empire when it came out. People, and there's some people that I know that don't support the show because of those stereotypical themes that are being portrayed in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Sorority Sisters, it came out, the ratings for the first show was came out, bam, it was 1 point hit at 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But do we artificially inflate that by having the debate about the shows? And are we artificially inflating Empire?
For Sorority Sisters, I would say yes, right? But something like that, and I'm like, man, this is a bad show. And because you're giving it a whole lot of energy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's why they had to actually hit them on the sponsorship tip. Because there were enough people that was going to keep watching it. Because they were like, I just want to see what the train wreck looks like. So I agree with you on that regard. But the Empire part, I think, is a completely different thing. Like, I think it's grown to a point that it's because they're filling a niche that doesn't get scratched. So it's like, there's no hip-hop show. There's no black stars. So we all going to watch. It's music. It's all the things that we like. All I'm saying is that.
Or things that are safe for us. And I think that, and I think to a certain extent, that's a safe and acceptable way to view African-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So white folks going to watch it. Young folks, millennials. Millennials are going
right.
to get into it. So you're not. So I'm sure that number is not just us.
Because I know Bob Geff is not acting like Empire.
Sure. So that. So you're on it as a relate, and I'm saying I want to just tie it back to this. This is where the hypocrisy happens, right? The
right.
hypocrisy to me is that the same people who are saying, "Leave me alone, let me watch my, you know, ratchet Empire," are the same ones saying, "But get away from me with the ratchet Sorority Sisters." I'm saying both of them serve the same. I understand that there's a reality component to it, but again, those shows aren't real. I know
right.
a Dream from the Sorority Sisters. I know Joy Hammond from Sorority Sisters. They ain't like that. That's
right.
not. They're playing a role very clearly. And if you can't recognize that and you don't see that how these two work together, this becomes our problem. And I'm
right.
like, and so they feed us this crap. But anyway, we should talk about this at another time because I'll be.
We might need to have a show on this.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
And
you know we got the media connect, so we can certainly bring in some people.
I'm one of those people that's so smart that I'm uncomfortable in this world.
That's my favorite job of all time.
That's just where we are.
All right. Well, let's get out of here, man. We've gone over. We said we're going to try to start shrinking these podcasts into like 45-minute nuggets. Today it was an hour and a half, but we had a lot that we had to get to. Definitely, if you get a chance, check out Dave Montgomery, MD.com. We thank you for coming on the show, Dr. Dave, and helping us with some of this information around vaccinations and black men's health. And we are excited about what we've got on deck next week, where we talk about black history and whether or not black history, is it still relevant? Do we really need it? Are we still, you know, we got Mr. Google, and you got all kinds of Bing, and you got, you know, all of the information at your fingertips. Do you really need to, you know, are we counting on people to tell us about black history in this 28-day period, or we just should just infuse it throughout the year and take it upon ourselves to say our black history going to be Black History Year? So, something to talk about. So, we're going to talk about that next week. We'll have a special guest. We'll announce that guest later on in the week, but we want you guys to join us as always. So, with no further ado, man, Silly, you got any shout-outs before we get out of here?
No, just shout out to all the folks that are coming back with us. We're coming back strong, and we're going to give you great content. So thank you, everybody that's been asking us and hitting us on social media about when we're coming back. And we're looking forward to serving you all in 2015.
That's what's up. I couldn't have said it better myself. So I'm going to get up out of this piece with a one love, a two strong, and 3 degrees. We will see you guys next week. One love. We out.
Tired of being alone and smoking now. Young, but you know I'm ready. Foreign girls call me sexy.
You sexy.
Hey, white girls give me Becky. But I'ma get back to the point, baby. Hold on.
Number one, girl, you can't replace me.
Can't replace me.
shots on my partners, they loaded up. They loaded up.
No.
Can't on the low, all these times we got some material. Hold on, man, did you see her interior?